It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 628. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. That's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Jam-packed show tonight. I have five iPad apps that I wanted to get to last week that I'm going to get to tonight that I've been playing with, and I want to talk about them. And then there's a desktop app because of a Windows 10 migration I did for a client. I want to talk about this free app. And then got a free app from someone in the chat tonight, pre-show. And then I have four emails. There's really like seven or eight emails tonight, but four emails literally all about Windows 10. So we're going to have a nice big section on Windows 10. Let's start it all off. I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. Instant House Call, that's your go-to remote access software when you have to remote in to a client and get something done and be able to not only unattended mode, but on the fly. You don't have to worry about firewall issues. When you sign up for Instant House Call, you're going to get a nice landing page that you can send clients to, or you can link the app from a download link, maybe from your website, like I do, at mhsconsulting.net. You can try it free for 15 days by either clicking on the link on my website or just going to instanthousecall.com. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Instant House Call and TechSite Builder brings you the Unconvention 2017 in Washington, D.C. It's only 3 weeks away, September 16th and 17th. I'm getting in on Friday afternoon early. Going to hang out Friday night. Saturday night's open. Saturday, we're going to play on the fly for Saturday night, but you really want to come. It's fun. You're going to learn a lot. It's worth it. It's www.unconvention.io. There are still limited seats available. You can purchase it right from the website. You can see the schedule. You can see everything that's happening. Your rooms, unfortunately, the discount date has passed for the rooms. As a matter of fact, I got clobbered with that. I am staying at the Marriott with my oldest son. We'll be attending. Right now, you can get $40 off by using the promo code MTS for the Mike Tech Show. You can get $40 off. Please do everything you can to try to make it down there. We're going to have a great time. We got great food lined up, great topics. You're going to get something out of it. You really will. The Unconvention is sponsored by Malwarebytes, the Tech Bench tool set. That is an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. This is a must utility for your tool bag, your USB stick. Link is in the show notes where you can sign up. It's free, and you can get and participate in this TechBench tool set. It is absolutely worth it. You're going to thank me. Malwarebytes. Hopefully we're going to work out the details at the Unconvention, but they're going to be on this show live either October 5th or the 12th. While we're talking about that, the schedule coming up, no show next week. As a matter of fact, I am going to be at a Green Day concert next Thursday night. No show next week. I'll be back the following week. And then it's every other week. For the next few weeks. In September, I'm only doing two shows because I got the Unconvention, and I also am traveling the last week of September. But October, we're back to the normal schedule. full October, I will be here every Thursday night, God willing, and that there's no client emergencies or family emergencies. So I'm planning on it. Let's begin. I want to discuss some iPad apps that I've been using that you may not be aware of. And these are all, I believe they're free. I'm pretty sure they're free. I'll make sure. The first one is FileMaker. Everybody remember FileMaker from the Apple days? This is where you can have custom databases to do invoices. It's so easy. Wait until you see how you can customize and track customers and database. Very simple. You should check it out. Download it. Take a look. FileMaker is a great little program. There's another program by Intuit that I've been using, and I've linked my accounts, and it kind of gives you some scary pictures of your spending, and you can do your budget and look at your bills. This is Mint, M-I-N-T. It's by Intuit. You can sign up for free, and you can run this on your iPad. I've been running this. Very, very nice. How about some drawing? Freehand drawing. Got an iPad or iPad Pro. The website is 53, literally spelled out, the number 53, FIFTYTHREE. This app is called Paper. It's like a blank piece of paper where you can sketch ideas, you can write, you can copy and paste and edit. It's a great little program, especially if you have the Apple Pencil. You definitely want to consider this. This, I've just started using. I'm so bad at pronouncing words. This is, the website is kanbana.com. The app is to manage your life with joy, they call it. It's very simple to set up projects and tasks. It aligns itself. You really want to operate your iPad in landscape mode, and you can have the columns for the progression of working on tasks that are due and when they're due. Are they due tomorrow? Are they due next week? Play with it. I think they have a paid version, but I've been using the free version, and it's sort of like your to-do list for the week. If you're living in your iPad, these are the kind of things that might help you become more productive. Kanbana. There you go. Someone actually spelled it out, Alaskan in the chat. Kanbana. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Next one, you know, I love, love, love Evernote. Evernote is required. Evernote was the first app installed on any device. I have Evernote installed, I think, on like 14 devices that I use and completely syncing. Penultimate was a product that Evernote bought that allows you to handwrite and draw and have it saved and linked right to your Evernote account. Oh, if you haven't used this, this is great. If you're taking hand notes, whether you're using your finger, whether you're using the Apple Pencil, this is how you can get great notes and your handwriting and have it completely available and synced in Evernote. They are my five apps for the iPad. The links will be in the show notes, so you can download, check them out. I've been playing with all of them. They're good enough to be worthy to mention on the show. Another app, and also this is linked to a story in the trenches. So Saturday, I was upgrading a client, a very important client, the COO of one of my retainer clients, and I'm at his house, and we are bringing him the Windows 10 Pro on his very high-end Dell Precision laptop. We're talking a laptop with 32 gigs of RAM, Core i7. It flies. And he had an SSD in there, but a 500 gig. We took that out and put it in an external enclosure for transferring because he's Windows 7 Pro, and that was our backout plan. If for some reason, some of the apps or some of the things he was doing in Windows 10 weren't working, if he wasn't happy, we could easily put the other drive back. It was worth having the second drive. So we bought a brand new Samsung 500 gig SSD, put it in, did Windows 10 from scratch. It activated perfectly with his Windows 7 key. Then we upgraded to the Creators update, and now the fun began. Office 365, getting that set up, but not configured, just installed. Getting all the browsers installed. Getting all the core apps installed. Then Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro. Plug in his older SSD via USB 3 on the docking station. Ran Fab's. He had so much data. We're talking about an hour and a half, 2 hours to transfer. It transferred perfectly. He has one of the most complicated outlooks of any client in terms of multiple emails, rules, where certain things come in. And by the way, Fabs copies the rules, but it doesn't activate them. I forgot about that. So there's a couple gotchas on Sunday that I had to deal with. And one of them was the rules. Once we activated them, he was good to go. But on Saturday, the app was perfect. Now, this is a man who, when he takes his laptop to his office, he's got multiple screens on the docking station. His icon positions he uses for his workflow. So I remember when I first met this client, one of his issues when he was getting the new system, the new laptop, he needed a way to save positions because sometimes when he's undocked, all the icons get all scrambled because it's not in the same position with the multiple monitors. I used to recommend Icon Restore, but not if you're Windows 10. It will install, but it does not work. As a matter of fact, it makes things horrible on the display. Anybody who was using Icon Restore, my son and I did some research. We did our due diligence. Tremendous little program called Desktop OK. The website will be in the show notes. It's a standalone program that you don't even have to install. You just make a directory, put it in, put a shortcut to it on the desktop. When you open it up, you can save the layout, rename, or delete. So you can have multiple layouts of the icon positions. It's clean. It's simple. It works with Windows 10, and it's free. It just made his day. This is great, and it's been tested with different resolutions going from different locations that he has to visit, and it's been working flawlessly. So he can have all of his icon positions exactly the way he wants it, where he wants it. This is a great program to have available if you have clients that live and breathe by the location of things. Now, I use Fences, but he does more than that. Fences kind of categorizes my groups of icons, but he has very specific positions for the workflow. Fences really wasn't a solution. I like it, but the way he works, it just wasn't the answer. Because that was the first thing Ken, who works for me, said, hey, why you love Fences? Why didn't you recommend that? I said, well, Fences, and it didn't really do it when we tested it. And that was way back I learned that. But Desktop OK, great little program. Let's segue here to Windows 10 and all the different issues. Now, I have been experiencing some real horrible Windows 10 updates where I've prevented them as much as I could. Now, even shutting down the Windows update service does not stop updates. Remember that. Updates will still happen. In the pro version of the Creators update, you have the ability of delaying the updates for a period of time. I can delay everything for a month. So every month, when Windows begins to try to do an update, guess what? My screen goes dead and the system will no longer boot. I have to flip back to the last restore point and then I can get in. It's a real pain. I got to solve this problem and I think I'm getting closer to it. The event log is riddled with event ID 14 from source NVLDDM. KM. That is a driver for the NVIDIA card. And I think that's what's happening. And it's getting locked. I got three links here before I start to get into the Windows 10 emails. And let's take them in order. First, what I'm going to do for my personal problem is I specifically downloaded newer NVIDIA driver it's not the bleeding edge, but it's a version that has the least complaints about. And I'm going to try that, but I didn't want to do it yet because I didn't want to create more problems for my system. And I got to record my show tonight. So I need it. No self-inflicted gunshot wounds on any of my systems on a Thursday. So I'm going to suffer through this on the weekend, and I'm going to make sure I got a good backup. I got a good restore point, and I'm going to redo the driver and see what happens. But how do you temporarily prevent a driver from reinstalling in Windows 10? And this is actually in answer to Kate's question. I got to email her. This is the link of the article, and it gets to a point where you can get a program that show or hide updates. It's a troubleshooting package that's on this page that this link will be in the show notes. When you download that, it's a self-running Windows troubleshooting program that will display pending updates that you could hide. They don't give you that option within Windows 10. Microsoft has a program. So as I did some research on this, I found this. Unfortunately for me, the update that's causing the problem isn't listed there. Didn't find any pending. But I think that's because of the state that my system's in after the restore point. So there's no updates trying to come in right now. It's worth trying if you have an update that keeps getting stuck. This is something where you might be able to hide that update for coming back again or installing. This is an important site to have, and I'll tell you why. It is the Windows 10 release information. This site lists all of the current Windows 10 versions and OS builds. Now, my OS build that I'm stuck at is May 9th, 2017, and it's 15.063.296. I need to get to 15.063.540, which was released on August 8th. So you can actually see the availability date and the OS build. But there's an extra bonus here on this website. The knowledge base article has a link on the side. So if I go to the latest update and I click the knowledge base article, I can now see all of the knowledge base links for that particular knowledge base. What you get on that page, based on the link that you're clicking on the left-hand side, you get the Microsoft update catalog. So I'm listing a link here for the latest update catalog. This allows you to do a standalone download of the roll-up of the latest update. It's a cumulative Windows 10 update based on the knowledge base of that latest release in both 32-bit and 64-bit for downloading. So you got an x86 and an x64. You absolutely need these links as we begin to troubleshoot problems and work through issues with Windows 10. Right now, I knock wood, I haven't had clients faced with some of the problems I'm experiencing, so I'm really glad. And some of the experiences that I'm getting from you, you know, the listener, sending in, it really helps me navigate all of this, where to go, what to download, what to try, and I use myself as the guinea pig for this. So here's my plan, is to apply the NVIDIA driver. Cross my fingers, hopes that that works. If it does and it updates and I reboot successfully, I'm then going to turn on all of the Windows updates that I've turned off and the service, even though sometimes that doesn't matter, and I'm going to run the latest standalone update and see what happens. But at each stage, even though updates creates its restore point, I'm creating my own personal restore point so I can see exactly what it is and the time, and I'm going to be able to go right back to it. Hopefully these websites and the links that I have here, they're all from Microsoft, will help us navigate the complexity of the Windows date versions and builds. And you know we're going to run into problems. Every system is different. You're going to run into a driver or something that they're trying to force upon us. I think it's absolutely appalling what Windows 10 is trying to do. I know not enough people were applying updates, and I know there's important security fixes, but guess what? As we know, in the real world, they're pushing things that lock up systems, drivers that don't work. And at least then we had the ability to stop certain updates. We have lost that control. You now have to experience the issue. And it's like an afterthought. Oh, we'll have this utility if something's stuck. Well, guess what? I'm in the middle of this problem, but that utility didn't reveal anything for me. But because it exists, it may help you with a client or your system. So that's why I'm sharing that. Definitely having access to the Microsoft Update catalog, it's very important. And understanding the versions and the knowledge base article, what are they fixing? What are they doing? So you get an idea of what is causing the problem. So hopefully this will help. A Windows 10 utility recommended in the pre-show tonight in the chat by Tim369 from the UK. He recommends Ear Trumpet, and that is a Windows 10 store app that's free, but waiting to hear. Ear Trumpet is a volume control app for both classic and modern Windows applications. You can individually control the volume of an app. That's pretty cool. That's why I was worthy of mentioning here tonight's show. So, Tim, thank you for bringing that to our attention, and that will be in the show notes. Let's get to some of these Windows 10 emails that I have. First one is from Terry in Arizona. As always, thanks for the great shows. We have over 700 VDI units running Windows 10. For some reason, JPEGs would not open in any photo app. We used a photo viewer registry fix to enable the old photo viewer to display photos. I did not do any VDI configuration, so I didn't delve deep into the problem. Instead, I knew of the reg fix. Now, here's the link, and I will put that in the show notes, but something I'm not sure is that if you do a Windows upgrade, the photo viewer was disabled, or is it installed but just not enabled in this registry fix, which I think is the case. Even if you do a fresh Windows 10, which I have one behind me here, and I didn't test out this key. I've heard of this key, but I want to see, is it only upgrades or is it for fresh installs? There's also another utility that you can click that I've mentioned way back when Windows 10 came out, where you can check the box to install the Windows 10 viewer. I think what it does is it just goes through and does the registry entry here. We have the hack to make the photo viewer available, which I think is very, very important because that's the one thing I like using. And I hate the Windows 10 photo viewer, the current JPEG viewer that comes with Windows 10 by default. I don't know any client that likes it, and I don't like it. What I've been doing for JPEGs, if you don't even like the photo viewer, how about IrfanView? It's free, and it allows you to manipulate pictures. It's tiny, it's easy to install, and you can make that the default app for all photos in the apps settings section for default apps. So something to consider is go to a whole nother app to solve the problem that your client likes or you like. I have a few clients that really like IrfanView. This email is from Alex, titled Three Activation Curios. Mike, here's three Windows 10 activation questions. This is a rumor going around. Have you had any instances of previously activated Windows 7 upgrade deactivate after creator's update? I built a new Ryzen 12-core system from scratch and used a scrapped Windows 7 key. Surprisingly, it activated okay. Then updated to build 17.03 last month. Do you think this will retroactively reject activation at some time later? Ever heard of this? No. I've never had a Windows 10 deactivate unless you change the motherboard or a major component. Because The license is a digital license at the Microsoft servers in the cloud married to your system. You can blow away your system, and I'm not sure all the components, but well, I believe it's tied to the motherboard, where if you do an install from scratch and you've previously activated, it will activate again automatically. The minute you have internet connectivity, it will activate. I have not heard of this. And if any listener, if you've heard of any scenario of Windows 10 deactivating, I want to know. I've also heard that some devices with no key stickers have Windows 10 key embedded in the BIOS. I don't think it's embedded in the BIOS, but it's married to that system in the Microsoft cloud. That's my response. He continues, some laptop manufacturers refuse to give purchasers Windows 10 keys, but the systems automatically update on a wipe and reinstall. So the key can't be on the boot drive. It has to be either hidden in the firmware or getting activation from a unique fingerprint by a remote connection. This is beginning to sound like a conspiracy theory. You are actually correct. It activates in the cloud at Microsoft. There's a system ID, which I don't quite know what components makes that up, but marries that computer to an activated key in the cloud. They call that a digital license. You can just redo the system. Now, if you have Windows 8 and you bought it as Windows 8 and there's no product key, that activates automatically from Windows 10. So you just need to know, was it 8 Pro or 8 Home when you're installing Windows 10? Will automatically activate. He continues, my first Win 10 system was a very low power 4-core AMD upgrade from a Windows 7 Pro. It never updates above the build 1607 level. It is a totally legit activation with an account. It's been running nearly a year. I'm beginning to wonder if it will spend the rest of its miserable existence as a creator's reject. Are some systems incapable of handling the creator's update? I do not know of that. I have not ran into it. I haven't heard of that. I really don't care if it ever updates. I strongly dislike Windows 10. I use this little cheapo system as a test bed to investigate Windows 10. It's the three-legged dog with no tail and one eye named Lucky. Alex, I love that. Thank you. All three of your scenarios, I don't think there's a problem. As a matter of fact, you would probably be better off just redoing that system. Since the system activated, you're good to go to reinstall and it will activate automatically. That's the best advice I can give you on that one. Just to give an example, I talked about a few weeks ago my problem with a client where I went to the creator's update before I activated and it wouldn't activate Windows 7 with the Windows 7 key. But when I called Microsoft, if you have a legitimate Windows 7 product key for the system, Microsoft will honor and walk you through the activation. I've done it. Windows firewall issue from Will. Hope you are doing well. I have an unusual situation, and I'm hoping you or your listeners can help. My client is running Windows 10 Home 64-bit Creators Up Edition. The operating system is working great, with one very weird exception. Windows firewall won't turn on. When I go into the service, the Windows firewall service shows as running. However, when I go into the details, you can see the status of the service oscillate every few seconds between running and stopped. I verified all the dependent services are working normally. I can't change the status of the firewall service because the oscillating status just locks it up. This is an all-in-one, so the computer is protected behind a router's hardware firewall, which means security-wise, she is protected. I turned off the error message and informed the client of the situation. I just hate not being able to resolve an issue, so I'm hoping someone has run across this before. Thanks for all you do in the tech community. Best wishes, Will. Here's what I recommend. Make sure you can absolutely state that that system is clean of all malware. That's the first thing I would do. I would run the whole gamut of the Malwarebytes suite. You want JRT, Adware Cleaner, Malwarebytes. If the firewall's disabled, take that as an opportunity to sell a license of Malwarebytes as extra protection. Then run Super Anti Spyware, do it all, and see what you get. There's also some firewall automatic fix-its from the Microsoft site where you can go to and have it fix and try to repair the firewall. If anybody else has got more recommendations, I will talk about them and pass them on to Will. This is from David, and it's about Britech09, who has great videos, and I've linked them and mentioned them, and Carrie Holzman's always linked them. I just wanted to share some info with you and your listeners. Britech just posted a video today on a site that is selling Windows 10 Pro keys for $15. Thanks for the great show, and it was a pleasure meeting you and Carrie at the Phoenix Tech Vets Meetup in 2014. Well, thank you, David. I'm going to link this, but be careful. Here's my recommendation on something like this. You just don't know if it's too good to be true. Sometimes is. I would use a PayPal account and buy one key that you need and see that it activates and it works, and then go on. I'm always scared, and I've done this with an office that was just too good to be true key. I'll use PayPal because you can always contact them and they will, you know, mediate for you and get your refund back if there's any kind of a problem. That's how I use PayPal for buying these one-offs. Even though it's being recommended by someone we trust, take precautions. Enough on Windows 10. Going to move on to two other emails here. This is Zipod. Love your show. I started working with Zipod for podcast downloads. It was great till I hit a problem and he's got like 50 feeds, but there's a couple feeds that he's having a problem with. The feeds does not download, although it recognizes the feeds and shows all the files and tries to connect and download. When I download the file manually, then it is okay. Juice app does not have this problem, which is something I was going to recommend. Make sure you go to another app and see, because it could be the host of the feed is having a problem. I don't know how to answer him. If anybody is familiar with Zipod, I actually use it to test my podcast, but I don't normally listen to other podcasts that way. Zipod's a great free little app that just, I've never ran into a problem. It's an npr.org RSS. The other one is sciam.com podcast. Do we have any control in Zipod? And this brings up a great question. How do you listen to my show? How do you listen to different podcasts? What apps do you use? I mentioned Zipod. We mentioned Juice. What do you use? Hit me up with that. Let me know. MikeTechShow@gmail.com. I'd love to know. Sort of a little informal poll here. This is from Carlos in Florida. I was wondering if you ever mentioned or talk about in any of your shows about tech insurance for new techs. Yes, I have. I don't know what show, and I think even Carrie and I, you talked about that a while back in Tech Bets. I would love to hear some advice on companies you might feel are good and won't take a big chunk of change out of the wallet. Any info or mention would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your consideration and all you do. My business insurance is actually from Erie, but there happens to be a city, Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie Insurance is big in Pennsylvania, but I don't believe they're in Florida at all. You, unfortunately, I don't have recommendations for Florida. But for business insurance, this is my take. And I'm going to get a lot of flack from this, from a lot of veteran IT support people. If you're starting out, yes, should you have business insurance? I believe you should. When you're just starting out, get paying clients first. You know when I got insurance? When it was required. I came across a building that had a tenant, a business tenant, that I was not allowed to set foot and do any work in that building without proof of my business insurance. Guess what? That's when I got my business insurance. I'm not the expert to talk about. Marvin B is really someone I should ask, who's in Florida. And I know that I got a few Florida listeners. that have IT companies, who do you recommend that is easy to work with, a reasonably priced business insurance? I make this call out to my special key just mentioned, asked Marvin B, and I totally forgot about that, about Marvin being in Florida for a second. So I will absolutely email Marvin, and I know he has business insurance. I will find out who he recommends in Florida. So it's by state, and there might be bigger companies that can do multiple states, but I will say this. As I was consolidating my insurance, I sent my business insurance information to Travelers. And when they looked at that, they said, we can't touch what you're paying. They quoted me auto and home, but they could not match the business insurance that I have at what I was paying. Now, I think I'm paying a lot. I'm paying over $600 a year. Depending on what you want, the coverage you want, you have to go over the details. I would get the minimum you can when you're starting out and you're required to have the business insurance. That's very, very important when you're walking into a company that needs that. I have currently 4 clients that need annual proof of my business insurance. And my agent automatically, without me even seeing it, will send it to those to have listed. As a matter of fact, Winston Wolf in the chat is one of them. In order for me to do work for him, I had to prove to his company that I have business insurance. As we do consultant to consultant work and B2B work like this, there's businesses that are going to require that. Starting out, I would not let that stop me from starting. Get the business. That's the most important thing. Get your clients, get paying clients, start making some money. And then when it's required, if you start doing well, I would look into the business insurance right away. But you may come into a stumbling block where a client, like I did, required it. So you know what? You got to make that choice. Do I want this client? You look at how much you're going to be making possibly for that client versus how much the insurance is. And to me, it was a no-brainer. Uncle Al asks a great question in the choice. Why do they require business insurance? Because I may do damage or do something in there. They want to know that they can sue me and they have a place to go that I'm insured. It's like any vendor going into a building and doing work in the building where me and my team could be running lines, could be doing, it's also a little CYA for yourself. You got to protect your company. I need to protect my equipment that I have here also. So there's different levels. One of the things that I needed to do is, like, sometimes I got expensive servers and equipment here. What if, God forbid, something happened? That's covered. There's also a rider that if I'm delivering equipment or have equipment in my car and, God forbid, there was an accident, the equipment got damaged, there would be 2 claims. One, not just the auto insurance, but my business insurance would cover me in my vehicle for the business equipment that's in there. So I'm just giving you a couple little details. You got to look at that and you got to look at all those options, see what you need. And also, if you have a client or a potential client that's requiring it, ask for some detail. What business insurance requirements are you looking for? To make sure you're satisfying those requirements so you don't go buy the wrong thing. It's complicated and you're going to need help navigating that. I would recommend someone local that might be able to guide you through that. This is an interesting question that I'm going to bring up at the unconvention. I would love to have a more detailed discussion of this, almost like a panel. It's not going to happen that weekend because we can't just interject a topic like this, but I would love to have a panel of different business owners and the different coverage and the different insurance they have just to share and compare and talk about that. Carlos, you bring up a great question that is on everybody's new businesses on their mind. I will definitely get recommendations from Marvin and pass them on to you. That is it for tonight's show. Want to thank Instant House Call and Malware Bytes for sponsoring the show. We have Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. They're an affiliate. TechSite Builder at TechSiteBuilder.com. The Computer Business Kit version 3 over at TechNibble. And of course, the best way to support this show is using my Amazon link. And it is coming up on back to school with you're going to need lots of things. Please abuse my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same. A small commission comes back and it adds up and it makes a difference. And I really appreciate your continued use of my Amazon link. I've done all of the paperwork for the UK. I got to get the links posted. I have not done the paperwork and the forms for Canada. And I promise I will, and have that all easily so you can, everybody in the UK and Canada can start using my link. Can't wait to get them activated. Thank you so much. I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.